to Be podcast is a proud member of the History of WWE.com website. The History of WWE.com features thousands of complete cards and detailed results from throughout wrestling history from legendary promotions across the country, in addition to informative columns and reviews. It is also the official home of the Place to Be podcast and Scott and Justin's pay-per-view reviews. Visit us at the History of WWE.com or on Facebook by searching for History of WWE or the Place to Be podcast. Because for anything and everything wrestling, the History of WWE.com is always the place to be.
Now, Frank here, he's got his own billiard room.
Yes, it's what do you call it, Kramer?
The billiard room.
No.
The name.
The billiard?
Not billiard. What? Not the billiards. It was...
Come on, Rick.
Come on.
We call it the place to be.
The place to be. Yes, it's the place to be.
Then I shall be there.
Now, it's time. Live and in living color.
The Grandy Man can.
Time to play the game.
Well, you always left me satisfied and smiling.
That's what she said.
Why do I want this?
Yeah.
Because I want to make bank, bro. I want to get ass. I want to drive a Range Rover.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, children of all ages, it is now time for the Place to Be podcast. And now your hosts, Justin Rosero and Scott Criscolo.
Fish, diamonds, and pearls, I mean. Should've seen them shit shining on the wrist. Now money ain't a problem, see my dough is like.
Place to Be Nation, welcome to another hella good episode of the Place to Be podcast. I am co-host Justin Rosero. And joining me, as always, the man that's always, always like, whoa, my PIC, Scott Criscolo. Scott, how you doing?
JR, pleasure as always, my brother. Welcome, everyone, to episode number 79. Of the Place to Be podcast. The year that the first W was dropped.
Yes.
It went from W, the wide left, and became just the World Wrestling Federation.
I don't do any tricks.
Well, I'll tell you something. With the entertainment value of our show tonight, we're not going to even need you.
No.
For tonight, on our 79th episode, we open up the alternate universe that is
to doubt El Dandy.
The Vintage Vault. And this evening, we are going to take an alternate course of entertainment value. Unintentional, I might add. Or intentional, I guess, depending on your point of view.
Sorry. Jumps.
But one of our... Yes, I know you're prepping. For one of our... greatest nicknames ever given a superstar in WWE history was born on this night, because we will all hail the King of Hearts.
Hello, everyone, and welcome on Gorilla Monsoon, along with the Macho Man, Randy Savage, and Baltimore's own football legend, NFL Hall of Famer, Art O'Donnell. And we're going to have a new king crown here tonight. Who do you think that's
going
to be?
Razor Ramon.
Razor Ramon. Oh, leg drop interview. Well, I can't do that in the NFL.
I don't know if I'm going to be able to keep a straight face throughout most of this show. Yes, folks, tonight on the Vintage Vault, PTB Nation gets a treat. Oh, good Lord. I knew this day would come. Tonight in the Vintage Vault, it is the 1994 King of the Ring.
Gorilla, is the Parker getting any air at all?
I didn't hear you. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I don't think either you or I have to speak for the next hour and a half, really.
Oh, we are locked and loaded with plenty of Art Donovan fun.
Or, of course, as he is affectionately known in the World Wrestling Entertainment pantheon, Art O'Donnell.
Yes.
June 19th. 1994, live from the Baltimore Arena in Baltimore, Maryland, as Vince concludes his tour of his wheelhouse.
Mm-hmm.
We went from Boston at the Survivor Series to, of course, your beloved Providence at the Royal Rumble, to Madison Square Garden, the home office at WrestleMania 10, and now finally, kind of almost his other home office back in the old school days of his dad, and that is, of course, down in Baltimore. And then with our next show, we go back out across the country somewhere else. 12,000. Doesn't seem like a lot, but that seems like probably one of those older, smaller places. I'm sure 12,000 was a sellout. Your announcers, you did hear, though, the wonderful tones of the great Gorilla Monsoon, who sits in the play-by-play.
The max in the Baltimore Arena was 14,000, 13,650 for concerts.
Okay, so it was for the most part sold out, probably about 1,000 empty seats. But we're getting to that time now where you're not going to see a lot of sellouts. Definitely not the Federation era anymore, that's for sure.
Do that in the NFL, can they all?
I can't even stand to watch it.
Gorilla makes his return, his official return. Now, as we've mentioned in the past few vaults, he does step in with switching back and forth between the TV and the WWF radio. But this is his first official play-by-play gig on camera in over a year since the 1993 Royal Rumble.
Yep.
So, the Macho Man Randy Savage, kind of unusual. Where's he been? Well, not where's he's. We know where he's been, but he hadn't been in an announcer role for a while. And here he is, sitting in the seat. And also there, and I still, to this day, really want to know what the hell Vince was thinking here. Sitting in the seat, as we know.
Yeah, just wanted a local celebrity, I guess.
Very weird. Hall of Famer, Art Donovan. Art Donovan, for those that are very young. I didn't even see this guy play, har-har. Art Donovan was an NFL Hall of Famer, played for the Baltimore Colts in the 50s and 60s during the Johnny Unitas years. Before my PIC's beloved New York Jets won Super Bowl III.
What's the girl over there screaming at?
Before your beloved Weave Eubank coached the Jets to Super Bowl III glory, he coached the Colts in the 50s. He actually was the coach of the Colts during that great game in 58 against the Giants. But anyway, Art Donovan was a Hall of Famer for the Colts, and for some really bizarre reason.
Well, I mean, isn't he known for, like, his talking and his, like, weird way of making points and telling stories and stuff? Like, isn't that, because he's on, like, a ton of NFL film specials and stuff, so
yes.
I thought that was just like him. I thought that was kind of the joke, that he was kind of outspoken and you know, got into these kind of things. That's what I thought about him.
Well, outspoken's one thing, but this just seems so random that he's color commentary in a WWF pay-per-view. I mean, it just seems so random. I could see him doing, like, Colts games on radio or something weird, but this is just bizarre. I don't know. I mean, I have no issue with it, but because as we see, it's highly entertaining. But
yeah, some people, this is a very divisive show and idea. Because a lot of people find Art Donovan to be distracting and annoying and ruin the show. I personally, I know you agree with me, We believe that it actually adds to the show. I think it adds to the enjoyment quite a bit. And I think the show on its own is pretty good, but he is so ridiculous that it makes it even better. I don't know. I enjoy it.
Yeah, it all depends on your perspective of the comedy. Now, yes, there are some who think,
what's he going to do, throw him out of the ring?
I think there's a few people that think that you know, he's not, you know, that are diehard serious Mark fans who want to focus on the tournament, focus on the very, very big title match, and focus on the big feud at the end, the last match of the night. And
this
don't want
to
bother
the pick to win, race.
That's my favorite one. He doesn't remember who that he picked. Then there are others like you and I who think, look, we understand what's going on in the show. And, of course, we'll document the show, as we always do. But this is an instance where, you know, as much as I thought it was illogical, that doesn't mean I didn't like it. I just thought it was illogical why the hell they grabbed this guy out of nowhere to do color. And I thought Gorilla actually knew who he was. Then he blows his name. So I don't know. There's just no words can describe this. Your buy rate is 0.85. Now,
he's not looking well at all.
We got a lot of, there's a lot of background stuff going on right now in
yeah.
the company.
Yeah, I guess we gotta, let's tell the background, then we'll get to the show, and I'll try and resist the urge to play these great Art Donovan clips.
Of course, going on at the moment, while this was going on, was the highly publicized steroid trial involving Vincent Kennedy McMahon.
I can't believe the whole thing!
Maybe he'd have been a witness. He'd been better than Nails. But, although Nails probably got him acquitted. Anyway, we all know the story, and we Justin and I have kind of, you know, touched on it over the last couple of years of shows, and that is, you know, the highly publicized use of steroids in the company, Dr. Zahorian, and all this other nonsense. And now we've come to a head. Vince McMahon on trial, and if he is convicted, he goes to prison. And you know, the gravity of that statement just, I don't think ever has sunk in with anybody. Could you imagine?
He's coming at you!
They might have done that in prison too. But, I mean, the gravity of that statement is just immense.
Well, talk about a way that could have really completely, totally altered the course of professional wrestling history, honestly. I mean, I don't know how long he went to jail for. I had heard maybe a year. I don't know. It would have been longer than that. But I know there was a plan in place.
Yes.
Apparently that Jerry Jarrett, down in Memphis, of course, Jeff Jarrett's father, was going to be brought in to run the show, basically. And Linda would run the business end, and everything was actually transferred to her name around this time.
Right.
And Jerry Jarrett would have run the whole creative of the company. So, of course, things would have been very different with his Southern-style booking, and who knows who he would have brought in. I mean, you know, probably would have been Pat Patterson, I'm sure, would have been involved with him as well, booking. But so, interesting how things could have went.
Yeah. You think his kid would have been champion?
Yeah, probably. Probably would have got a good push.
Yeah, your cousin would have got a boner at that.
Yes.
Most likely. of course, that did not happen. Vince was acquitted thanks to the awesome testimony of Kevin Kelly / Nails, Kevin Wacholz, and even the testimony of one Hulk Hogan.
Yes.
And that's it. The schism between the two of them, at least for the next 8 years, was pretty wide.
But and didn't Hogan help him, though?
Well, you know, this is very confusing, and we won't belabor this point. This might be one of our specialty podcasts. We talk about, like, our what-if episode. Maybe we'll have Reesh and Duncan and those guys on to talk about what would happen. But this is one of those confusing stories. Now, I was told we've always been told that Hogan testified against Hogan, testified against Vince. But I think he testified for Vince.
Well, no, he testified against Vince. I think that's the whole thing. He was testifying for the prosecution, but what he said, I believe, ended up helping Vince. So I think that's where the mix-up comes in. That he was testifying against Vince for the prosecutor, but what he ended up saying pretty much helped them acquit Vince.
Yeah.
Now they're both out!
Should have had this guy as his prosecution. It would have been tremendous.
I think they're all guilty.
Yeah. Who's that guy there with the funny shirt on? Anyway.
So that's why, that's why Vince is not on this show. He was obviously busy with that. And the reason on TV was that he was having neck surgery. That's what they said it, of course. You know, the infamous thing where he'd be at the courthouse and the neck brace and all that crap. So, that's how they explained why he was absent from TV. It was earlier in 1994. I think it was after the Royal Rumble that they actually fired Jim Ross. They let him go.
Yes. Yes, he was fired because if you remember the big rant that JR went on, what was it, late 96?
Mm-hmm.
He says, you know, it was January something, 1994,
right,
that Vince McMahon fired me. And I think to myself, what the hell did he fire? Well, that was his first Bell's Palsy.
No, that was before that.
What, before January 94?
No, this is before the Bell's Palsy.
Oh, are you sure? Because I thought he said it in the...
No, he fired him again later in the year, I'm pretty sure. They brought him back. They fired him because they just didn't think he fit in. They thought he was too Southern, too whatever, and they didn't feel like they needed him. So they fired him. He went down and worked in Memphis and all that stuff at that time. And then they brought him back when Vince had to leave, so they needed a guy to fill in. So that's when he started doing Superstars for Vince during the summer.
Right.
And then I think after this, when Vince comes back, they released him again, and then they bring him back later in the year. And that I think that's when they released him. This time is when he had the Bell's Palsy.
Right. So JR is gone, and now we
actually,
have this
no, you're
strange.
Right. I'm sorry. You're right. I apologize. Ross was fired on February 11th, 2 weeks after suffering his first attack of Bell's Palsy. He subsequently became an announcer for Smoky Mountain, and the Atlanta Falcons. When Vince McMahon was indicted by the United States government, he was unable to continue commentating Raw. After a few weeks of Gorilla Monsoon, they rehired Ross to fill in for McMahon along ringside with Randy Savage that summer. Ross was let go. He was fired again, though. With McMahon acquitted, yes. Ross was let go by the WWF again. Ross returned to Smoky Mountain, and then they rehired him in early 95 prior to WrestleMania. And that's, of course,
all right.
He'd be on for good since then.
Yeah. Yeah. So here we have this strange amalgamation of talent, or lack thereof, on the broadcast booth. All right. So there's that. Of course, this is the second annual King of the Ring tournament. Bret Hart is the defending King of the Ring winner. He, of course, has bigger fish to fry on this night. We'll get to that later. You have a very... Here are the guys that were in the tournament going into tonight. And then I want you to give your predictions, because you and your crew there had a little thing going on of the tournament picks. Here were the guys that were in the tournament: Razor Ramon, fresh off his Intercontinental Championship win at WrestleMania, or his retaining of his title; Bam Bam Bigelow; IRS; Mabel; Jeff Jarrett; the 1-2-3 Kid; Tatanka; and of course, Owen Hart. So there were the eight in the tournament. We also have a
500 pounds plus, Art.
Oh, that's not bad. The only guy, the only fella only weighs half the amount.
Thanks for that logic, Art. Much appreciated. We, of course, have a World Wrestling Federation Championship match to discuss. The first of the quartet, I call it, between these two guys. And then...
Gorilla, who's the guy in the white suit?
Guy in the white suit.
That'd be Oscar.
That's Oscar, the manager of Men on a Mission, Art.
Oh, I thought maybe he was the guy coming to take him to the hospital.
I can't wait till we get to the PTB feedback, though. It's gonna be very interesting to see what else. Sounds like he's drunk. He really does. Maybe he should have been. I don't know. Maybe Savage and Gorilla should have been drunk. Maybe Gorilla should have been passing the joy juice out. All right. We have a dark match.
This show's gonna be like 6 hours long.
I know. All right. We have a dark match. You're the master of the dark match. Why don't you tell us who it is?
This dark match was my boy, Thurman Sparky Plug against Quang. Big match up there.
Yep.
And Spark Plug beat him, so.
Yep. We'd see Quang in a better role about a year from now.
Yes.
But, okay. All right, let's go through the first round of the tournament. First match, Pitts, our Intercontinental Champion. Right? He's still got the belt right now, doesn't he? Or did he lose it?
No, he is not.
No, he does not have it. Okay. Former World Wrestling Federation Intercontinental Champion, Razor Ramon. We'll tell you who he lost the belt to later on. Loses the title to somebody. So here he is in the King of the Ring, taking on Bam Bam Bigelow, who's coming off his multi-gendered win over the Doinks and the clown posse there, Doink and Dink, at WrestleMania. Why don't you tell everyone who your pick was for this tournament going in? What were you guys, your crew there, the crew that we feel so affectionate to be part of after the 94 Rumble vault. What were you guys thinking about going into this tournament?
Definitely, I figured Razor for sure was going to win this. He seemed like the best position to win it. I thought it was going to be him and Jeff Jarrett in the finals. That was my official prediction, and that he would win.
I remember vaguely reading this on the... in the PWI. And I actually had a feeling that Owen was going to win. That was my pick.
I did not. I honestly had him lose into the first round of my bracket, I remember. I did not think
really?
He was going to win. Yeah. I don't know why. I mean, it's funny because he was still pushed pretty well after WrestleMania, but the hyper push didn't start till after the show, so it wasn't completely obvious.
Right.
Time to the top rope. Check out Luna. Here we go again. Yeah, he's really some athlete, really. Randy, I felt that down here.
As these clips continue on throughout the evening. it sounds like he's getting drunk. What do you think Savage had to been thinking? Jesus Christ, what am I doing here? Thank you, Vince, you asshole.
That's what he was thinking.
Yeah, pretty much. All right. Qualifying matches. Razor got into the tournament by defeating the 300 pounds of you-know-what hitting the fan, and that was Quang.
Yes.
And Bam Bam Bigelow defeated your guy, Sparky Plug. So the losers of the qualifiers faced each other in the dark match.
Makes sense.
Yes. By the way, this is the second straight year Razor is in the opening, is in the curtain jerker of the King of the Ring pay-per-view. Mm-hmm. A year ago, he wrestled a great match with Bret the Hitman Hart, the eventual winner. Here, he takes on a guy who Bret Hart defeated in the finals a year ago. Bam Bam Bigelow.
Yeah, kind of a big matchup here in the first round. Two guys that you think could maybe go a couple rounds deep into this thing, or at least another round, and they faced off here in the opener. So, surprising matchup, honestly.
Yeah, and I agree.
I always liked this match. I thought, we've gone over how good Bigelow is for big man, the bumping he does, and Razor works well with those kind of guys. And I thought they had a pretty good match. I actually wish they maybe would have had a bigger feud at some point, just never really matched up. But, Luna, of course, still with Bigelow, as we heard in the Art Donovan clips there.
Yes.
And I always like the finish, too. Bigelow goes up for the moonsault. Razor comes up behind him, grabs him in his undercarriage with his arm. And slams him down on the mat with kind of like almost a power bomb off the top. It was pretty cool. So it was a good finish, and Razor picks up the win. And yes. I always really like this opener.
Yeah, it's not bad. It's pretty solid. I mean, you're dealing with two guys who, pretty solid in the ring, and they, different philosophies, but, both big guys. I mean, Razor wrestled like a big man. He was, but not nearly as big as he was in his AWA days, but definitely had the style to go one-on-one with Bam Bam and put on a pretty good match, so. Razor gets the win, moves on to the next round. It's funny. I feel like every time we do a vault with Bigelow in it, we always say, yeah, he'd have been good with this guy. Yeah, he'd have been good with this guy.
Well, he wasted half of his run with Doink, sadly.
Yeah. That is kind of a bummer. But here he loses in the first round to the former Intercontinental Champion, Razor Ramon. So Razor moves on to the next one.
You know what else I liked about this tournament was they had the big board with the brackets at backstage, and they'd keep going to Todd Pettengill in the back, and he'd update the brackets and everything. I always liked that little touch.
Yes. Yeah, I kind of thought that was cool. It kind of reminds me of the old wrestling classic when drunken lech Lord Alfred was there sticking his freezer bar into that whatever that blonde chick's name was with the big and they had the big board for the tournament with all the little faces on it. All right, our second first-round match, I thought maybe this match would have proven that this guy didn't belong in any singles situation. Yeah, this guy probably ate Johnny Gill and Bobby Brown. Good God. Anyway, IRS... who came out to this song, by the way, taking on our candy girl, Mabel.
Around the world won everybody's vote. It almost knocked the hole right through the bottom of the boat.
Well, he's the kind of guy that could do that, so. IRS takes on one-third of the men on a mission, and that is Mabel. With his partner Mo by his side, and Oscar, the guy who drives the ambulance, I think, is what.
No, Mo isn't with him because Mo was actually hurt at this point.
Oh, okay.
And he's gone for a while. I think he's gone until early '95. So Mabel, they obviously kind of liked him as a big man, so they keep him and Oscar around as a singles guy all the way through the summer or through the winter. So Oscar returns in January.
Okay. So
Mo.
You mean Mo? Oscar comes out because Oscar apparently drives the ambulance. So whatever. In the qualifying matches, IRS defeated Scott Steiner, which is fine because they're pretty much on their way out the door anyway.
And that was his last match, Steiner.
Okay. And Mabel defeated one of your favorites, one half.
I don't want to talk about it. It depresses me too much.
Yeah, one half of the awesome Quebecers, and that is Pierre. Hey, you know what? Time for me to have a little request of our art director, Jason Greenhouse. I think you need to do a collage of JR with the Quebecers and Johnny Polo.
Well, I would treasure that. I'd hang it on my wall.
Yeah, so Jason Greenhouse, let's do that. I have mine of Flair and Andy Gibb and all of my group. I think you should do one for the Quebecers and JP. So JP for JR. Okay. The match itself is an unmitigated. Well, first of all, let's talk about the Steiners. They're officially gone.
Oh, no, he takes all of that off, huh?
Oh, I see.
Yeah.
Look at the size of that one. What's his name? How much does that guy weigh?
500 pounds plus, son.
Well, that's not bad. The only guy, the only fellow, only weighs half the amount.
Oh,
I think I'm going to get out of here. This is dangerous. Gorilla, who's the guy in the white suit?
Guy in the white suit?
That'd be Oscar.
That's Oscar, the manager of Men on a Mission, huh?
Oh, I thought maybe he was the guy coming to take him to the hospital. Did you two guys enjoy doing this?
Oh, absolutely.
I can't imagine that. This is far worse than playing football. At least we had pads on. Yeah. Well, it looks like he's bleeding a little bit. There's some red stuff on his pants. He's got a lot of candy. He's got a lot of gold in his mouth, though, huh? He must be a very wealthy fella.
Just been involved in some matches in the past.
Oh, I can't believe a guy can be that good and jump around like he does. Great athlete. Well, one thing, Randy's got a lot more hair than you and I put together.
And I'm hurting.
Normal man. He can hunt the fan with a switch, that guy. Gorilla, they're going to go right through the ring one of these times. Here goes the ropes. Look, it's second game of believing.
What do you think, Gorilla and Macho?
Oh, they hated it. Because it's so funny, as the show goes on, every time they cut to them, they're more and more, like, distance themselves, and there's one part, I think it's before, maybe the last couple of matches they cut to him, and Art's, like, sitting by himself staring ahead, and Savage is completely turned with his back to Art talking to Gorilla. It's really funny, and you can tell by the end they were just getting fed up with answering the same old stupid questions over and over, so.
Yeah, I'm sure that Gorilla, who at the time had more clout than anybody, probably more clout than Vince. I'm sure he probably gave Vince an earful for that one. Sorry, I know you're in trial. I know you're in court. Okay. Again, this is Mabel's first.
Yeah, I mean, it was.
Yeah.
God.
It was Mabel's first pay-per-view singles match, as JR and I have talked about. And again, this is. Why don't you talk about?
I think we talked about it, didn't we? At the Rumble.
Okay. Do we go through all of it? Okay, because we have the fun fact here, so I just want to make sure.
By the way,
follow along on our wonderful board, bigelow34.proboards.com. Follow along. I just want to make sure. I know we talked about it at 10, but I just want to make sure. Scott,
this was the last match. It went to ECW, went to Japan, then they'd return to WCW, and they'd stay there till it folded as well. So, and as we mentioned, we don't see Rick Steiner again.
No. This match is, and look, I love IRS as much as anybody, but this match is an absolute piece of crap.
Yeah, he didn't have much to work with, obviously, and even the finish is awful, where IRS just kind of lays next to him and pulls his leg up, and he's not even covering him. I don't understand why he couldn't get on top of him, but.
Nah, this match is a disaster. And, IRS, fortunately, they didn't have him win. IRS moves on, to the next round.
Yeah. So once Razor won, it was obvious Mabel wasn't gonna move on.
So why don't we move on? Let's get through, because there's certainly not a lot to talk about in some of these earlier matches. Our third match.
How much does he weigh, the talker?
I'll tell you, if I had to guess, Art Donovan, I would say somewhere between 260 to 280 pounds.
Really? I'll tell you, I think these two guys will make some great linebackers. What do you think?
Might be right in a 5-4 defense. Put him on the outside. Get the play inside.
Put some pads on him. Let's scare the hell out of the other team. Well, I'll tell you what, boy. They're fighting all over this place. This guy's need a helmet with a face mask. I can't believe the whole thing. They're killing each other. Gorilla, is the pocket getting any air at all?
I'm sorry. It's okay.
Hey, Randy, no wonder they got three doctors around here. They need more than three doctors. They need a regiment. It looks like he needs business now, huh? And Randy, there's going
to
be a...
You like Gorilla? I can't hear you, Art. Too bad.
That's okay.
did Savage say a 5-4 defense?
What he really said? A fucking mess. I like how he barely can pronounce the Tonka as well. I don't know. He's Tabanka. I don't know what the hell he's calling him.
Tabanka.
But Tabanka.
That's awesome. Anyway.
Hey, Randy. So, we're just going to keep playing all these clips. I hope you guys don't mind. This might be a very clip-heavy show, because I think it helps tell the story way better than we ever could.
Yeah, seriously. And we won't get this much great announcing for a long, long time. So, not great in the ridiculously entertaining sense. I don't think we'll get anything this good for a while. So,
the qualifiers here, Owen Hart was actually supposed to face Earthquake. And just as quick as he returned, he was gone. He fought Yokozuna in a pretty famous sumo match in May. Mm-hmm. Earthquake beat that. He defeated Yoko, and then he was supposed to fight Owen here, and they announced that he was injured by Yoko at a house show, and then he was gone. And by the end of the year, he'd pop up in WCW, and we'll see him again eventually under a different gimmick, but not for a while. So that's it for Earthquake, his brief return. And also here, Tatanka's first pay-per-view pinfall loss. Of course, his first loss was on Superstars in October against Ludwig Borga. But here, he loses to Owen Hart.
That's right. So, the match, probably the first good match of the night, was solid. I thought it was a good, it was good to see two real good workers. Tatanka suffers his first pinfall loss here on pay-per-view. Do you think that they had run out of gas with him as a babyface?
I think it was clear that he kind of had his chance, too, to become any kind of title contender, and I feel like they kind of didn't take advantage and strike while the iron was hot, and by now he's just kind of floating around aimlessly. And at this point, you had to have him start losing matches. So, to me it just made sense to do this here. And I remember at the time thinking he was going to beat Owen and then probably lose to Jeff Jarrett. So I don't think the mystique was even there with him anymore as well. So, I mean, it was obvious. Once he had that loss, all that build up to that loss, he was pretty much just another guy at this point.
Yeah, exactly. And again, the match isn't bad, though.
Let me tell you something. Ludwig Borga defeated this stupid Indian on TV. I would have beaten him in the pay-per-view. I would have won the whole King of the Ring. I would have been the crown.
You know, I got to say something to you, El Gigante. I think you and Mabel would have had a great match. But, you know, I know that you...
Art Donovan, that fucking crackhead, coming out here talking like a fucking schmuck.
I think
the great El Gigante is from Argentina?
You know, he would have probably asked how much you weighed.
I weighed 335 stone and a biscuit. Don't listen to that stupid schmuck. Don't worry about him.
He could have put you in a 9-2 defense, and he could have been a good
lineman. We don't play the pussy football in Argentina. We play the real football. We play the soccer.
You know, I heard that you had a great soccer match with Finland.
Fuck the Finns, those fucking pricks. All they care about is the clean air and the cars. We don't care. We don't even drive down here. We just walk everywhere.
All right. Thank you, El Gigante. Thank
you. Go fuck yourself.
Imagine him as a fourth seat with Art. That would have been... I think Savage would have just got up and left at that point. So, not a bad match. Again, you got two good workers, but Owen gets the win and moves on to the next round. Our final first-round match.
We didn't finish the qualifying match. We talked about Earthquake. Owen ended up defeating Doink, who replaced Earthquake, and Tatanka beat Crush, thanks to Lex Luger showing up and distracting Crush.
Okay.
Because now with Mr. Perfect gone, as we talked about, he was set to feud with Luger. He left impromptu, so they ended up just having Crush take a spot in the house show circuit. So.
Right. Okay. So Owen wins, and he joins Razor Ramon and IRS in the semifinals. Our final first-round match.
After what? 1-2-3.
A 1-2-3 kid, yes.
They run from the 1-2-3 kid and check this kid out, man.
They're not as big as some of these other fellas, are they?
No, you're right, he's not. 1-2-3.
I tell you, he's got a nice tan. He must have been down in the island somewhere, huh? Who's this now, man? What are we talking about? 1-2-3?
1-2-3.
He looks like a boxer. Double J, sir, I think he's mad at me. He looked at me, he said, come on up the ring. I said, are you nuts? I tell you, I saw more great clotheslines here than I saw in 13 years in the NFL.
I appreciate that, Art.
Well, I'm telling you.
That's right.
These guys are too much. They're going to kill each other.
Once again.
I don't think that poor guy can win that 1-2-3. He's gonna get murdered.
Well, you're probably right, Art Donovan. To party.
You can come home to my house.
Double J,
got all kinds of things. I'll take a lot of other things out of you too. Now don't even start. He's in the ninth inning. Oh, nice move out of there by the kid. And Double J's in
trouble now.
I think Double J's doing the two-step.
He's got two, all right. He's got Double J security. They got to call out the Marines.
Did he say Double J's a cutie?
Yeah, so. Well, what's wrong with the official? Why don't they stop him? He looks like he's afraid. Go up and get him, Randy. But if Randy hit the count to 1,000, he's not going to get up.
You got to give Savage credit at this point. At least he's trying. Gorilla's done. Gorilla's done. He's had enough.
Gorilla checked out as soon as he introduced him.
Yeah, he's done. Savage, to his credit, is probably like, you know what? I'm going to play around with this guy for a little while.
Oh, my God. Well, he kept directing his questions to him, too. He kept, Randy. Hey, Randy.
Yeah. I think I didn't call him Lanny. That would probably have been even worse.
Oh, man.
So the 1-2-3 kid, as you can hear, takes on Double J Jeff Jarrett in the final first round matchup.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't you give the qualifiers?
Yes, 1-2-3 kid defeated Adam Bomb, continuing to disappoint Ted DiBiase, who was on looking. Wasting his talent, of course. And Jeff Jarrett defeated Lex Luger, again, thanks to an assist from Crush. So the Crush-Luger feud, still raging on. They don't fight here or anything, but it was still raging on TV and house shows, and they screw each other out of King of the Ring slots. So this match is pretty short, pretty fast-paced as well. It's only 4.5 minutes, and the kid steals a win, gets a small package. Jeff Jarrett, though, gets some pretty good revenge after the match. He drops him with 3 pile drivers, and kid sells it tremendously. They carry him out, he's holding his neck, and, you know, the questions start popping up. Is he going to be able to continue on and fight in the next round? And based on the year before we had the bye, you start thinking, oh, maybe they're going to do it again this year. Just save time. They're going to have Kid just have to bow out due to an injury, and then Owen gets a bye to the finals. It was definitely looking that way at this point.
Mm-hmm. But this is a good match. Again, between two guys, pretty balanced in terms of ability. Jeff Jarrett's it's not often that Jeff Jarrett faces a guy that's lighter than he is. But no, it's a solid match, and the kid moves on. So your semifinals are Razor Ramon takes on Mabel, and the Rocket Owen Hart takes on the 1-2-3 kid. Interesting combinations there. Did I say Mabel? I'm sorry, IRS.
Yes.
I'm sorry. So in a rematch of a match that you saw 6 months earlier.
Mm-hmm.
A rematch. Razor Ramon taking on IRS. And Owen Hart takes on the 1-2-3 kid. All right, we'll take a break from the tournament for now. And we have our World Wrestling Federation championship match. And
Final four right now.
He may be in the final place.
There it is.
Who's the guy leading? What's that, a second?
That's Shawn Michaels.
Is he another wrestler?
Former Intercontinental Champion.
How do you like to face him on the line?
Nobody.
Second looks like an offensive blind. Look at the size of that guy.
Well, the Anvil used to play for the L.A. Raiders, Oakland Raiders.
Oh, really?
Yep.
He come after you, I'm liable to get untrussed to go out with him.
I appreciate that.
I say you're
that.
Second.
Right.
This is like David and Goliath.
Well, David and Goliath, indeed. We know what happened to that story.
Can you do that? That's like sticking your fingers in a face, man. Can you stick your fingers in the guy's eyes? What's that kosher?
I'm not sure that actually happened, Art Donovan.
He almost reached out to hit the table here. I think that's gone crazy. Absolutely gone mad crazy. Here goes the ring post. How do these guys get out of bed tomorrow? How do you guys get out of bed?
You roll out of bed. If it takes you a couple extra days, that's what you do.
Go right back at it, huh?
That's exactly right.
There's no way he can win this match now, the way that guy beat him up.
Go in control.
That man's got it. He's fighting two guys instead of one.
That's three.
Then it's three. The guy is,
I know what you're talking about.
I guarantee you, I've never seen anything like but this is not true yet. You gotta watch it.
I don't
have to take so much punishment.
What?
I can't believe it.
I feel
terrible. Well, they're all in the ring now. It's a
close ring, the belt.
They ought to call the back. Who's the other guy up the ring?
Who wins? What's the result?
The referee's stealing the belt. What's the referee going with the belt?
That's okay. He's just taking it out. It's the end, man. Don't worry about that.
Well, that guy's a cocky guy, huh?
I think our Donovan would have fit in well in WCF. Where's the referee go with the belt? He's stealing the belt.
By the end of this podcast, they're going to think Art Donovan's one of the co-hosts. Next thing you know, he's going to be doing interviews with Matt Rotella.
I feel bad. I feel like we're taking this whole podcast. Everyone's going to hate us.
No, not at all. Everyone knows Art Donovan is
he's the, he is this show. I mean,
he really
is. When you think of this show, you think of obviously the eventual winner of the tournament, but you also think of Art Donovan. I mean, it's just, how can you not? He was the highlight of this whole show.
Exactly. Let's get into this match, though, because this is actually a very good match.
Yes.
The Bret the Hitman Hart, a year ago, wins the King of the Ring tournament. This year, of course, a little bit higher on the ladder. He is your World Wrestling Federation champion after winning two matches in March at WrestleMania 10. One, a five-star classic against his brother, or a five-star class against his brother Owen, which he lost. And then, of course, winning the championship from Yokozuna in the main event. Taking on, are you ready? The new
what
Intercontinental Champion on the 4:30 Superstars.
Well, yeah. It was taped. 4/13.
Taped on April 13th in Rochester, New York. Diesel upset Razor Ramon to become the new Intercontinental Champion.
I can tell you who wasn't upset. This guy right here.
You're big Diesel. You pretty much saved the guy's job, all you Ocean Staters. Saved the guy's job in January.
Well, the thing is, too, they announced, obviously, this match the week before it was going to air. They said, you know, next week, Diesel challenges Razor Ramon. Now, in between that, during that week, on April 29th, they returned to Providence for a house show, part of the WrestleMania Revenge Tour, and one of the matches was Razor Ramon versus Diesel. And, of course, Diesel came out with the belt. So we were freaking out.
Right.
Because obviously now we knew that Diesel was going to win the title the next day on Superstar. So we were like going, you know, me and Josh, and I don't remember if Matt was. I know Josh and I were definitely going bonkers at the idea that Diesel had won that title. So we were so fired up and excited. And then I taped the Superstars the next day. I still have the tape to this day of that match.
Ah, okay.
One of my favorites.
So Diesel, his title was not on the line. So here's a guy that all of a sudden,
right,
you know, 6 months ago was going to be unemployed. Might as well find his Oz outfit. And now all of a sudden, he has a possibility of becoming, of holding both singles championships.
Well, you know, too, along with that came a swagger in the way he carried himself in the ring. And he looked the part immediately. He didn't look like a guy being pushed over his head like so many guys would be. He immediately looked like he fit the bill. He carried himself that way, and he looked like he fit right in with Bret as a dominant monster heel. And on the 5:30 Raw, Shawn, Diesel, and Bret were on the King's Court, which was Jerry the King Lawler's talk show segment.
Yep.
And Diesel and Michaels attacked him, laid him out with a jackknife, and that kind of really set the heat up for this match. So Bret promised he was going to have a family member at his corner at the show. Of course, rumors started swirling immediately. Would it be Stu? Would it be Bruce? One of the big ones was Davey Boy Smith that everyone just assumed it was going to be. I'm pretty sure I thought it was going to be Bulldog at the time. In this match. And of course, it ends up being Jim the Anvil Neidhart makes a surprise return. So he comes out in his first pay-per-view appearance since the 92 Rumble, and he's going to be in Bret's corner and have his back for this match. So,
right. Or so we thought.
He does.
Yeah. Bret, of course, is on top of the world. He is the face of the company right now. No doubt about it. Of all of his title reigns that he would have in his career, this would be the one that I'm sure he probably was the most proud of because he held it for a good amount of time and was able to really.
Yeah, I agree. This was the time when it was his company right now.
Yes, absolutely. And you think about this match, and they would have four total, and of course we'll document all of them right here. I think they get better, but this one was really good.
Mm-hmm.
What made it good, do you think? Sorry, I was drinking some of Art's joy juice there. What do you think about this match made it so good, though? Like, here's, obviously, like you said, Diesel finally, after this match, was Big Daddy Cool. He became Big Daddy, not just the silent guy with the shades and the ruffles and the frill on his tights. He became Big Sexy here.
Well, I think part of it is that Bret was just a master. You know, everyone credits Paul Heyman as being one of those guys that they say, he accentuates the positives, hides the negatives. I think Bret was that in the ring. He really knew how to cover for a guy, play to the guy's strengths, hide his weaknesses, and then do his part to help, you know, finish the match off. And what he did was just lay around and let Diesel beat the shit out of him at a methodical pace. And he built the heat. He milked the crowd. You had Sean and Anvil running around at ringside doing their part. I just think all that excitement, and now Diesel all of a sudden looked like this unstoppable juggernaut. He knocked out Razor Ramon, took his title, took out Bret on Raw, and it looked like he may walk away with even more gold. And to me, what made this match was that they were presenting Diesel as a star. They were presenting him as a legitimate threat, not just an off challenger, not just a guy who got lucky or a fluke. They booked him like a legitimate monster.
Yeah.
And it was believable that he could maybe steal the title here. Like, it was not, it would have been made an upset, but it was like booked in a way that, wow, Bret's really going to have to face this guy who's just on a roll right now, this big, young, hungry monster. Can he escape with his title? And I think that's what made it successful. When you factor in Bret selling and Diesel's offense that was, just good enough to make the crowd believe, then I think you had a pretty good match.
And the other thing is, when you get Vince's endorsement, you get a lot of opportunity. You could tell that eventually this was the kind of guy Vince liked. It just took the time for Vince to really see it. And I think finally here on a big stage that he really got down to getting the character, and he got lucky. Not lucky. Let me rephrase that. He got the opportunity to wrestle a guy who he knew would make him look good. And sure enough, he did.
Well, don't forget, during this time, Vince wasn't really heavily involved in the booking. Mm-hmm. Pat Patterson was doing the majority of it. So I don't know if that played any kind of role, if he was letting, the talent kind of run the things themselves a little bit more than Vince would normally. So I'm not sure, but whatever happens, it was for the best, because Bret was just having great matches on TV. It was also around this time, it was after the show, he had the awesome match with the 1-2-3 Kid on Raw, and just had a lot of good stuff going on at this time. So he was definitely, building himself up well as the guy carrying the company, and Diesel positioned immediately. And the good thing here is the finish, which we'll get to in a second, doesn't hurt him at all. So no. Diesel still leaves this match looking strong.
Yes.
And Bret ends up being a pawn in the game of his brother and his brother-in-law. Because what happens is the Anvil comes, he finally has enough. He's chasing Sean around. Diesel's about to hit the jackknife. Anvil runs in and clotheslines him, drawing the DQ. So Diesel wins the match by DQ at 22:51. So a lot of time given to this match.
Absolutely. Yes. Yep.
And then Anvil just leaves. He just walks off all pissed off. And then Diesel and Sean beat Bret down until the referees break it up. So now you're wondering, what the hell's Anvil doing? He ends up saving Brett's title for him, but he costs him the match. And then he walks off all angry as Bret gets the shit kicked out of him. So we'll see the rest of this play out shortly. But for now, Bret keeps his title, and Diesel's screwed out of the gold, but still looking very, very strong.
Yeah, definitely a guy that was set for bigger things as the year progressed. And here we have a really good match, probably one of the better ones. I don't know if it's on this match. Surprisingly, this match is not on any DVDs. Very surprising.
Yeah, I would have thought it would have been on something.
It would have been on something. I would have put it on that Greatest Superstars of the 90s DVD. I think this would have been a nice hidden gem.
Yeah, you're right. It would have summed up things quite well.
Yeah, there's a couple of matches on that set that probably could have gone done without and done something else, but that's okay. But now, a lot of these matches, of course, we refer to the awesome Broham, Graham Cawthon's History of WWE.com. Excuse me. There's nothing other than getting, if you have, there's nothing of these on DVD. Hardly anything. I have the Coliseum video copy. There's hardly any stuff on even tape. Only one match is on any other compilations. We haven't even gotten to it yet. So this is this might be one of the true hidden gems in the history of pay-per-view, really. Now, again, there is a King of the Ring set coming out at the end of the year. I'm sure this will be on it. I'd like to think this is on it because it's a match that definitely people need to see.
Yeah, but are they doing the pay-per-views? Or they're not just doing like tournament matches? No, there's no way they're just doing tournament matches.
No, because there's not enough good ones. Yeah. No, I'm sure they're doing pay-per-view. I'm sure it's for pay-per-view.
Yeah, I don't see any reason why this wouldn't be on it. Both guys are in the good graces, and it makes sense. It was a very good match.
And if you go through the history of the pay-per-view itself, and obviously we'll document all of them here in the Vintage Vault, there really aren't that many really great matches from the pay-per-view itself. We had a few of them last year in Dayton, and we have one here. So I clearly think this one has to be on the. I don't even think you and I talked about this earlier. I don't think the match list has been released yet. I don't even think it's being the DVD's being released this year. I think it might not be. I think it might be early 2012.
I thought it was soon. I thought I saw like an ad for it.
Really? I don't remember there being a match list. I'll have to go on to another great site to go on. We don't talk about it much, but it is a great site. The only reason we don't talk about it much is you can't really buy anything on it unless you have a Region 2 DVD, and that's Silvervision, which is WWE's UK outlet. And you can get, if you have a Region 2 DVD, which is not hard to get, you just got to research them. You know, Walmart sells them. Either a Region 2 or an All Regions DVD. For those that don't really know the way it is, most DVDs in this country are Region 1s. Region 2s are European versions. And you can get a lot of cool stuff on Silvervision, but they usually have match lists out for the new upcoming DVDs. I'll take a look at it. Anyway, back to this match. Exceptional. Find it somewhere. Maybe it's on YouTube somewhere. It's a great match. And again, these two guys wrestled 4 really good pay-per-view matches over the next, 2 years. Just under 2 years. 2 more 95 and then 1 more 96. But this is the first one, and it's exceptional. Bret Hart retains his championship. Diesel wins the match, and then his former tag team partner mysteriously vanishes. Very weird. All right, back to the tournament. We have our...
Hey, BTB Nation, it is now time for the Rob Houston Memorial Hacksaw Jim Duggan update.
I got my
2x4. Can you feel it? It's coming.
I know.
The excitement's in the air.
I know.
In June of 1994, the ink was drying on the contract as Jim Duggan was signing with WCW and make his debut just weeks later. At our next show, we're going to have legitimate Jim Duggan updates. Oh my God, I'm so excited. Fired up. PTB Nation, fired up.
I'm breathless with anticipation. Right now, though, he's probably hanging out with Art Adano at a bar up.
Who's a better announcer, Art Donovan here or Jim Duggan at WrestleMania 7?
Oh, God. That's a Matt Rotella question. Don't ever ask me that again. That's like saying, would you rather get hit by a bus or a train, you know?
That's like saying, would you rather spend a night with Matt Rotella or Derek LaRue?
Yeah, exactly. I would have to say Art Donovan, because then he'd be gone after this, and I wouldn't have to worry about him anymore. Okay, great. Can't wait for that. Can't wait for next Friday. All right, let's get down to the semifinal match. Just quickies, because we are running short on, not we, as J.R.
Yes, your cunt is in the sink.
Oh, where have you been, Marty? Probably, could you imagine, he's probably on trial, too, for leaving organs in kitchen spaces. Jetstream of bullshit. Anyway, we have a couple of quickie semifinal matches. Razor Ramon and IRS in a rematch for my PIC's cherry popper there.
Come on, man, Razor, right? This is the guy. This is the guy, Art, that you predicted.
Oh! He may make you rich, Art.
Oh! It's like missing the trap block. Boy, you certainly know about that.
Exactly like it, except completely different.
That was a block. That was a good block. What does that give when he has his 2 feet on the rope?
That's called leverage. That's called leverage. It's also called cheating.
All right. He'll never show up. Really, he'll never show up.
Well, I've done him saying that the 1-2-3 kid will not show up for his semifinal match.
Hey, I may have a winner. I may have picked the winner.
You may have.
That was a heck of a forearm.
Nice clothesline by the tax man.
Gorilla couldn't even let him have that.
I know.
Oh, what a forearm. Nice clothesline by the tax man.
Yeah. Oh, well. Razor Ramon moves on. I mean, the match isn't bad for 5 minutes. I feel like it's almost like a Superstars match or something. But you can tell Gorilla just was done. I'm sure he'd rather have done the show by himself. Savage just like seems like he's having fun with the guy, and Art just has no idea. He just really has no idea. But Razor Ramon wins, and I think your prediction, you're probably feeling pretty good about yourself at this point.
I thought so. And the fact that they had Art Donovan saying he was going to win kind of made me confident as well.
Earl, I'm so glad you took his advice. So Razor Ramon beats IRS. IRS doing what he does best, which is just get in matches and give you some good time, and he does there. So Razor Ramon is in the championship final of the tournament. Who will he face? Well, in a match that I thought got thoroughly robbed of time, Owen Hart and the 1-2-3 Kid wrestle the final match of the semifinals. And 3.5 minutes these two get. 3.5 minutes. That's it.
Of course,
tough guy.
Not many clips there, obviously, because it was such a quick match. And now Kid, as we said, they teased that he may not show up. They even play his music for a few minutes, and he doesn't come out, and they're playing it. And then he finally staggers out, holding his neck. And Owen is smelling a victory here, smelling the chance to get to the finals. Kid is barely near the ring, and Owen just crushes him with a baseball slide dropkick as he's getting towards the ring.
Yep.
And then from there, it is a 3-minute sprint of madness. And these two put on a tremendous match for a 3.5-minute match.
Absolutely.
Honestly, it may be the best sub-5-minute match in pay-per-view history for them.
Yeah, it's amazing. I mean, it really is. And I don't know if they ever... Did they ever wrestle on Raw?
They fought after Brett beat the Kid. Owen, of course, always having to one-up his brother, a few weeks later fought the Kid. And they had a very, very good match on Raw. You with me? I thought I heard something.
Oh, there you go. I got so excited that my mic popped out of my the laptop. So okay, yes. Just like when Blazer and Perfect fought at WrestleMania 5, wanted that match to go another 5 minutes. You know. So Owen Hart hits the ratchets up the sharpshooter. Kid is already in pain from his knee, from his neck.
And it was on the August 15th Raw. These two would have their rematch.
I'm sure that was an exceptional match again as well.
Yep. Yeah, this match, again, if you haven't seen it or want to see it again, it's only 3.5 minutes, but it is really, really, really good.
Yes. So your King of the Ring finals match, Razor Ramon versus Owen Hart. And you still thought Razor was going to win, huh?
Yeah, I don't know why I didn't see Owen winning. I guess at this point I still wasn't taking him seriously as anything more than... I know the whole thing, he had beaten Brett, but he still a little bit seemed kind of just like a mid-card guy. Razor, you got to remember, I mean, he was heavily pushed as the IC champion. He had lost his belt to Diesel, and it just seemed likely that he was going to win this tournament and then go back to regain his title again. So,
all right. So,
especially the year before with the face winning, I think part of me didn't really see a heel winning either. So,
we will have that finals match in a little bit. We're going to take a breather. Because Art needs a break. He needs a nappy time. So, and I think Gorilla needs a break with a couple of shots of joy juice after having to deal with all that. If I hear Art ask one more time, how much does this guy weigh? I swear to God.
On the video I'm using, they have a counter. So that was the fifth time.
All right. We still got a tag team championship match. We still have our tournament final. And then a very unusual main event. And I know this might cause some vitriol. With some. I'm curious to see what the PTB Nation's feedback is. Because I remember hating it to death. You kind of got softened me on it a little bit, but I still don't think it's a great main event. But anyway, we'll get to that. First off, though, why don't we take a breather and talk to our good friends from WrestleChat.net. Because...
The hell is this shit? Red chocolate or something else?
Hello?
How many pro wrestling news websites do you visit to get your daily news? 3, 4, maybe 5? Do yourself a favor and make that number 1. WrestleChat.net, the only professional wrestling news site that brings you all wrestling news all day long, and is home of the critically acclaimed Still Real to Us podcast, starring former CZW, ROH, and ECW announcer Eric Arjulo and the champ,
Jeff Beck.
That's WrestleChat.net. WrestleChat, it's where it's at.
Can't believe you. kick him in while he's down. WrestleChat.net, your home for everything pro wrestling, all of your news and notes, WWE, TNA, and all that too. Some UFC. Of course, our weekly Cornucopia Fun and Games podcast of headlines. We have our news and notes.
That's got to be Kane!
Wow, we are looking far ahead, aren't we? It made me lose my train of thought. Thanks. If you look to the right of the page, you, of course, will see the PTB Gnome. Click on it, and you'll go right to our Podbean page, and you can listen to our podcasts. So enjoy the wonderful website that is WrestleChat.net, your home for everything pro wrestling. Of course, they have a great message board and the champ and the announcer. Although they're not Art Donovan by any stretch of the imagination.
No one is.
No one is. At this point in the show, Gorilla wants to throttle him. Savage must be drunk at this point. But we still have a few matches left. We take a breather. We still have the finals match to come. But first, since our last pay-per-view, and I'm sorry, my friend, but we have new World Wrestling Federation Tag Team Champions. I'm terribly sorry.
Well, that didn't surprise me a bit, because Lou Albano is a big, fat, sloppy pig.
Indeed
and
he is.
That fucking big, fat, sloppy pig
yep.
slops his way back into the promotion.
Yep.
And lo and behold,
yep.
pads his fucking stats with another tag team title
yep.
reign.
Glomming onto somebody else's coattails.
Oh, I hate him. I want to fucking choke him with his rubber bands.
On the May 2nd episode of Raw, the Head Shrinkers, who turned face right after WrestleMania, defeated the Quebecers. And suddenly, Captain Lou Albano is their manager. Co-manager, because Afa is, of course, still there.
Right. Versus the whole thing was that he had been scouting teams for a while. He was at WrestleMania. And then, he managed the Samoans back in the day. And so he said, I can help them regain the greatness that they once had. And he's able to get a tag title shot for them. They built it up, and they win. They defeat my Quebecers, who had a great tag team title reign. The Quebecers would get a rematch on the King of the Ring preview, the countdown to the crowning show the week before this, and that would unfortunately be their last match. So, very sad ending for my boys.
Yes. Thanks to that big, fat, sloppy pig.
Ugh, fucking...
Wow, is he, here's a good question. We have to put this poll on the Place to Be podcast Facebook page. Who is my PIC's most reviled manager?
Oh, it's Albano.
Is it Captain Lou? Even more than Frenchie Martin, huh?
Frenchie was just useless. Albano was a thorn in my side.
Bane of your existence.
He belongs in the sink with the cunt.
Big, fat, sloppy pig.
Oh, fucking, I hate him so much.
Anyway, Head Shrinkers take on...
This is the Skyway!
I can't believe a man can be that big. Look at his size, and he took over a whole defensive line. He's gonna go right through the concrete floor. We're gonna watch his level fall into our table here. Well, there goes the ring. Who's the fellow with the American flag?
That's Lex Luger.
Oh, okay.
Well, Art Donovan, I gotta.
Who's that guy? It's like, oh, okay.
Oh, right.
I like how he goes, how much does that guy weigh? 600 pounds. Eh?
Oh. Of course, the match is the Head Shrinkers defending their tag team titles against Crush and Yokozuna, Mr. Fuji's two guys that he's put together and aligned them here for a tag title shot.
It's kind of a cool team. I like that.
Yeah, it made sense. They worked well together. Yoko, of course, getting de-pushed a little bit after losing his world title at WrestleMania. Mm-hmm. Getting to the feud here a little bit with the Head Shrinkers. And, of course, you have the whole Head Shrinkers-Yoko tie, for those in the know, the little Samoan tie there.
Yep.
And as we talked about, Luger and Crush have been costing each other their qualifying matches and having their feud on TV. And here, Luger comes out, distracts Crush just long enough for Samu to pin him with a super kick and retain the titles for the Head Shrinkers. So pretty good tag title retention for the Head Shrinkers, despite them being on my shit list right now.
And Crush really becoming a good solid mid. He's almost like IRS. He's turning into a good solid mid-card big guy. And Yoko takes a spell, lets the main event picture kind of shake up a little bit. Did Yoko get a rematch on Raw with Brett?
I don't think so, actually.
Never got his rematch. Son of a bitch. So in what was a pretty good title defense, nothing crazy, you know, nothing offensive, good solid match. The Head Shrinkers with that big fat sloppy pig retain the tag team championships. They would hold it for a while, a couple of months anyway.
Yeah, they had a decent reign. I mean, it just kind of came out of nowhere. All of a sudden, they turned the face and they won the titles. Like, they didn't really have much of a build to that. They just, I don't know if the Quebecers were just leaving, so they had to get the titles off them, or if they left because they lost the titles. I'm honestly not really sure.
Yeah, I don't either.
But I just remember being really upset about it.
Yeah, and this match not on any compilations either.
Well, I mean, it's nothing special.
Yeah, well, I wonder if they would have had to. I wonder if they would have had to give Art O'Donoghue. I think he's passed away now. Any residuals from? I probably wouldn't even have noticed. Oh, look at his checks in the mail. It's my friend Randy.
Just to give you a little bit behind the breakup of the Quebecers, they broke up at a house show held at the Montreal Forum on June 25th. After a loss to Head Shrinkers, Pierre and Polo turned on Jacques Rougeau, After a few minutes of Jacques being attacked in front of his hometown crowd, Ray Rougeau, who had been announcer for the French language broadcasts, ran to the ring to save his brother. This angle led to Rougeau's first retirement match, which over the next few months was heavily promoted on WWF TV shows in Montreal, as well as in local media. The match was held on October 21st, 1994, drew a sellout crowd of 16,843 to the Montreal Forum, which saw a victory for Rougeau, where he pinned Pierre with a flying body press. It was accompanied by Ramon, and used Queen's song "We Are the Champions" as theme music for the night. And of course, they'd be wrestling again as a team in 1996.
Yes. So look at that. They even made them break up and heel on each other. Oh, that's, you must be devastated. And you know why? That big fat sloppy pig
had to run his fucking mouth.
Yeah.
Get himself involved.
He thinks he's involved. But he wasn't booked.
He shouldn't have been booked, and he shouldn't have been involved. He should have been jumping on a trampoline somewhere. Not doing tricks.
All right. I'll do
waiting for the phone to ring. Because you never know when that next call is going to come.
Yeah, well, so was he. You wish that call never came.
Take it out. But I'll be sure to come back when the Lakers beat the Kings in May.
Yes. Can't wait till we get to that. Sorry. Okay. Time for the tournament final. And what looks to be a pretty good match, actually. The King of Hearts.
Oh,
Owen Hart.
Like that.
Razor's gone all the way to the finals. You might be the man to pick the King
of Hearts. He'll be the King. He'll be crowned the King, right?
He's got to beat the Rocket. He's got to survive the Rocket.
What's all right. These people are going crazy, these fans. Oh, he looks ready to go. He looks ready to go. I wish he'd get rid of that toothpick, though. This guy over at the Razor Ramon really outweighs him up by about 30 pounds. That's what I say. This is unbelievable. These guys are so well trained. They can play a football game forever. You know what? I think that Razor's going to lose. I think this other
Wait a minute. Aren't you predicting?
I know. I'm watching the show. I think the other fellow's got a little too much.
It's a man's prerogative to change his mind. Is that what you're trying to say?
Right. Thank you very much.
Look at the Rocket. He's incredible.
Come on, Razor.
A 60-minute time limit right here.
How can they go that long?
Oh, wait a minute.
Well, I don't...
So they pick Razor, or he picks Razor. Then he changes and says Owen's going to win. And then he roots for Razor a minute later. It's pretty funny.
You know, we should mention, by the way, that the night before...
We'll talk about that for the end. We'll talk about it at the end.
Okay. I wanted to make sure we don't forget.
Okay. I think right. Art, this was a good pay-per-view for Art. The fact that it was a tournament, so he got to keep seeing these guys, because it made it even funnier that he didn't recognize half of them the second time around and the third time around. Like, yeah. I'm glad, like, he I don't know, I liked him being involved in a tournament. I think that was a good fit. So if he wins this, he's gonna be king then, right? King?
You notice Gorilla just stopped talking at this point. He was done. The match is good. No, not great, but pretty solid. And we see another returning relative. What happens in the end here? What's going on?
Well, the Anvil comes back out, and now you're wondering what the hell is going on. Is he going to help Razor? Seemed like maybe he would. But he actually, Razor's on the floor. He picks him up and clotheslines him. Throws him back in the ring. Owen hits an elbow off the top and wins and becomes king. Surprising victory in my eyes, and apparently 99% of the other fans expected him to win, and I was the only one in the dark. But so he ends up winning that, wins the title of King, King of the Ring, and now Anvil is aligned with Owen, and Gorilla and Savage kind of start piecing things together, realizing, wait a minute, this is a setup, and now it looks like the Anvil only helped Brett keep his title so he could keep it on Brett for Owen to go after him. And that's kind of revealed here as we go along. So
right.
The Anvil is now with Owen Hart backing him up. They go to the coronation area. Anvil puts the cape on him, or the cape and the crown, and gives him the scepter, and Owen proclaims himself to be the King of Hearts. And once I heard that, I realized that I should have picked him from the start, because how can they pass up something as great as that?
Right.
The King of Hearts nickname. So, it was very fitting for him to be the king. The nickname fit, everything fit right into place for him. And, of course, he is now the reigning King of the Ring, doing what his brother did. Another thing, too, that we probably should have seen coming, that not only did he beat his brother at WrestleMania, but now he's topped him. He's the King of the Ring, again, just like Brett was the year before.
Right. And now there's only one thing left for Owen to do, and that is take his brother's World Wrestling Federation Championship. We'll get to that, though, next week.
So now let's compare the tournament from last year to this year, just the tournament itself.
Okay.
What do you think? Better? Worse? Same?
Well, quality-wise, definitely worse. The matches in 93 were better overall. In terms of storyline advancement, this one definitely had more stuff to it. Last year, the 93 King of the Ring was just simply to give Brett a payback for getting stuck in the wazoo at WrestleMania 9. This one, they used guys in the tournament to kind of advance other storylines.
Well, so mainly, and the storyline within it, with all the Owen stuff,
right,
as you see him getting more and more confident as the tournament goes on, and he's so aggressive in taking out the kid to get to the finals, and then the plan unfolding with the Anvil, it really makes it a much tighter storyline threaded throughout the tournament.
Right, exactly. So, Owen wins the King of the Ring, and right now is, I don't want to say he's the top heel, but he definitely went up many notches by the end of the show. Now, I would have been perfectly happy with the show ending here. Unfortunately, we have one more match to talk about. It's the second time this year that we have a main event that we probably could have done without. For some unusual reason, we have a match here between Jerry the King Lawler and Rowdy Roddy Piper. Now, it starts because, obviously, Lawler has a interview segment, as my PIC mentioned, the King's Court. I guess Piper was also given one called The Bottom Line.
Yes, where he would basically, a lot of the times he was just like on movie sets or somewhere else, and he would have sent it in like via fan cam kind of. And Lawler, of course, took offense to that, but he had also been running his mouth about Piper's poor refereeing work at WrestleMania. So he'd been called Piper out on TV,
right,
laying the groundwork for this match here, and he was calling him out and saying he sucked, and then pissed off that he had the show, and they started taking jabs back and forth over whose show was better. So Jerry Lawler, never one to let things lie, has his episode of the King Court where he brings out a scrawny little kid dressed as Piper and does an awesome dead-on Roddy Piper impression.
Yes. Yes.
And you may or may not know, but this is the segment that actually spawned the infamous Josh Richter version of Roddy Piper. So they come out. He mocks Piper, the fake Piper, and, you know, fake Piper does his thing, and he makes him crawl on his knees and kiss his feet. So that was really the main buildup for this match. And, of course, this is Piper's first pay-per-view match since WrestleMania 8.
Yes. Although, the kid that was on the King's Court never said that he bit the burger.
No, he did not.
Which is great Josh Richter line right there. Anyway.
And, of course, he's played to the ring by the bagpipes here as well.
Yes, that was cool. That was cool, I admit that.
Let me ask you a question. Did you two guys act like that in the ring when you were wrestling?
Do you think the Anvil...
I'll tell you, I can't believe this whole show. What shape these guys are in. It's unbelievable. Now, was he the king at one time? Jerry Lawler? I tell you, he should have been a preacher. This is his vocation. He's not very well liked, is he? Well, he's really mad, huh? You know, I don't think Roddy Piper likes this guy. Billy Carney hasn't thrown a punch. I think Piper's in trouble.
We've seen that happen many times before.
You know what, Art Donovan? I think you're right.
And that brings an end to the story of Art Donovan.
Yeah. I think Savage is even done with him at this point.
Well, it's funny because that first clip where they talk about the Anvil and he asks them if they acted like that, and Savage has his back to him, and Gorilla just totally ignores him and starts talking about the angle, and they don't even answer him. But it's kind of it's like they went out of the way to want to confuse Art Donovan by having this big tournament to crown the king, and then they have the king, Jerry Lawler, come out. You can just tell he was like so fucking lost. He's like, I don't know what's going on.
That's, I never even thought of that. That's pretty funny. But I just never understood what the whole point of this match was. I don't. I don't understand the point of this match. I don't understand the point of this storyline. I didn't get it. I don't know why they had to pull Piper back to have a match. Considering one is just as bad as this one was. And I remember when we first reviewed this show, I destroyed this show, this match. When we officially put it on our message board, Bigelow34.proboards.com. I softened on it a little bit. I think I graded it. I gave it a 2. I think I originally gave it like a 0.5 out of 5. But I just didn't understand why we couldn't just end the show with Owen on the throne with a scepter and Anvil there. Everything would have been great. Instead, we have this. And this was just not good. I just didn't understand what made them have to put this match last. I bet you Vince, if he was focusing on this, would not have put this match on.
I think having the match, it kind of had, well, I guess it didn't have to be last. It was kind of a big deal at the time, honestly, though, for Piper to be wrestling. I mean, it wasn't that big of a joke. And going into it, I mean, Lawler had actually had some pretty decent matches and angles in the WWF at this point. So it couldn't be completely looked at as like, oh, these two old fucks are going to the ring and slowing things down. I mean, I think heading into it, I think we're looking at it in hindsight and seeing how crappy it ended up being. And it's 12 minutes and not booked the best way. But going into it, I don't think it was looked at as like a joke of a match. I mean, I think it was built pretty well. I think Lawler was built as a very effective heel and Piper was pretty over. I mean, he had just come back at WrestleMania and, you know, he was looking strong and looking good. And don't forget the last match we had seen Piper in was against tearing the house down Bret Hart. So it's like, he had this run of like 5 years of garbage, and then we get this match. And so I think just heading in, it wasn't that bad of an idea. Just not in execution, it doesn't end up being that good. So, and the fact that it ends the show, but I could see why they didn't want to end the show with Owen. I mean, I get it. And I get why they couldn't do the title match last either, because you don't want to end with Diesel and Shawn. Plus, you needed that to be earlier to have the Anvil story play out.
So. Right, exactly. So, I don't know. I guess you're right. I guess it's tough to, hindsight's 2020, and at the time, they probably thought this was, you know, give a spike on pay-per-view for having Piper come back. Maybe they didn't think the match being any good mattered, but I just wish it was somewhere else on the card. But I guess you had to do what you had to do. The match is not good, at least my opinion of it is. Maybe a lot of you think it's good. We'll get to the feedback in a second. Maybe some of you like the match. That's fine. I don't know. I thought it kind of buzzkilled Owens' win a little bit. But if to get Piper on pay-per-view to spike it, I can understand that.
Yeah, plus they wanted to obviously, exactly. They needed, I think they still were kind of worried a little bit about not having that Hogan draw, and they figured having Piper on there would maybe help add some buys to the show. And of course, this was on Father's Day, this show as well. And I think a little bit of it was they were saying like, oh, you know, get it as a Father's Day gift. And maybe they were hoping the nostalgia of this of these guys would help with that maybe as well.
Yeah, that's entirely possible. The crowd funny, was...
I remember thinking that because they have the Piper kid come out. And he ends up helping Piper win. And then he celebrates with Piper after Piper actually puts him on his shoulders and walks around the ring. And I remember thinking if we were wondering if that was actually one of his kids and this was like a Father's Day thing. We weren't sure because he obviously sounded like him. So,
right.
I don't think it was proven that it was, but yeah, and that was okay. And of course, for the second time in the show, we have an awful finish where Piper does this like back suplex. I think it was supposed to be like a bridge, but his shoulder, I don't know. It's just really ugly looking. And along with the IRS Mabel match, we have two of the worst pinfalls I've ever seen in one show.
Yeah, exactly. But at least, you know, Jerry Lawler bit the burger at the end of this match. So, okay. There is your King of the Ring 1994 pay-per-view.
Is he dead, Gorilla? Now, it was also during this time that they were really focusing on the new generation with Hogan officially gone and some of the other guys petered out. They started doing a lot of those vignettes focusing the new generation, the new stars. And it was funny that this was the main event of the first, like, real true new generation pay-per-view, but that was a big thing going on at this time, was the new generation.
Yes, and they had Art Donovan in the broadcast table. Yeah, that's a new generation for you. But, of course, he maybe gives this... He alone might have put a half tick on the final grade for the show for both of us. I don't know what we would have graded it if... I mean,
nostalgia-wise, I always loved the show. This is another one we ordered at my house. I really enjoyed watching it live, and I always enjoy going back and watching it. And yeah, Art Donovan does play a big role in that because he is pretty entertaining to listen to. He's funny as hell. Always cracks me up to listen to him. And I thought the storyline here was very good with all the Owen stuff. And, of course, the Bret Diesel match was very good as well. So
right. Yes, it was. Absolutely.
I mean, the only real dogs are the, you know, the tag matches, not much to it, and then the main event. But other than that, I mean, the matches are all pretty good.
Yeah, they are all pretty good. All right. Now, we were saying earlier, we were holding off. The night before, they had the first official. Now, we said that the WWE Hall of Fame was created in 1993 by inducting Andre the Giant.
Mm-hmm.
But 1994, they actually had a class, per se.
Yes.
And they had a ceremony the night before. The following people were inducted in 1994. Arnold Skoland, the Golden Boy, former manager of Bob Backlund. Oh, man, we're getting close to little Bob Backlund time. Outstanding.
And Arnold will play a role in that.
Yes. Bobo Brazil, four-time WWF United States champion, was a U.S. heavyweight champion in the NWA. And plenty of regional titles. Nature Boy Buddy Rogers, who was inducted by Bret Hart, by the way. He had passed away, I think, the year before or earlier that year. So he was inducted. Chief J. Strongbow, one of the greatest WWF wrestlers of all time, inducted by Tatanka.
Makes sense.
Yeah. Classy Freddie Blassie, former legendary manager and wrestler.
Buddy Rogers passed away on June 26, 92.
Okay, so it was a couple years. Okay. You know who inducted Classy Freddie Blassie? Shane.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense. They were so close with the family, but it's kind of weird.
Right. Yeah. Gorilla Monsoon. You know who inducted him? Jim Ross.
Well, I mean, this ceremony is very different than the one that we see today.
Yeah.
Obviously, it was just held in the Omni Inner Harbor Hotel. It was just in a ballroom. Regis Philbin actually was the MC for the event, which is pretty funny.
That's awesome.
But yeah, you could tell it wasn't like a big deal who was inducting who. They just had people to give little speeches, and they accepted and got their plaques. It wasn't. I don't know if it was open to the public or not, but
no, I doubt it was.
So.
And finally, James Dudley, inducted by Vince, and he was the former arena head. He ran the Cap Center in Landover, so, and he was very close friends with Vince Sr.
Yeah, wasn't he? I mean, the joke is that Vince Senior was like limo driver or whatever, right?
Yes, yeah.
But he also was a manager and he wrestled as well. So it's not like he was just some scrub. But I know Meltzer always kind of craps on him. And of course, the story goes, over time, Dudley's role with the company diminished. He ceased working for them. Shortly before Vince McMahon Sr. died, he told his son, who had taken control of the promotion, whatever else you do, you take care of James Dudley. So there you go. He's put back on the payroll at age 74, got several gifts.
Yep.
Described as an important cog in the company. And Vince also always just paid him great respect. So.
Yep. So there's your 1994 Hall of Fame class. And we'll have a couple of years worth of them. Next year we'll have one.
Hang on. He ended up living in D.C. after retiring. Mm-hmm. 37 grandchildren, 34 great-grandchildren, 16 great-great-grandchildren. He passed away in 2004 at the age of 94.
Wow. God bless him. What a great family. Wow.
He actually played Negro League baseball for 9 years as well.
Good for him.
Yeah. Quite a life for James Dudley.
A charmed life. Indeed. Indeed.
And he's inducted to the Hall of Fame in the Charm City.
Exactly. By his beloved boss's son. Vinny Jr. So next year, the King of the Ring, the Hall of Fame will be in June again. Then the following year, it's in November, and then we don't have it for 8 years because during that time, nobody cared about history, I guess. But well, they had other priorities. We'll get there. So there is your 1994 King of the Ring. We hope you enjoyed it. It was a kind of an alternative approach to the show tonight. Before we get to that, before we finish up, though, of course, we have plenty of feedback.
Yep.
We'd love to hear what our PTB Nation. I'll let you go first. I know you don't want to read Corey Ferreira's. he's still your Paul Orndorff of PTB Nation.
So. Very angry.
You could start with the art director.
All right, the great Jason Greenhouse, who answered the call to action.
Yes.
The graphic up on the Facebook page, chronicling the assholes of the week. So thank you, Jason.
Excellent.
Damn you, Art Donovan. I feel bad for Gorilla Macho Man having to deal with that dope all night. With the exception of the Hot Rod King disaster, I enjoyed the show. Diesel, Owen, Yoko, the Head Trickers all continue to be pushed. And welcome back to the big, fat, sloppy pig, Lou Albano. Brett versus Diesel is a great title match. Love seeing the Anvil return. Pretty obvious he was going to turn heel. Side with Owen, but he was just what Owen needed. Seeing Owen with that crown on his head still makes me laugh to this day. He looks so ridiculous, but what a great memory of Owen that is. Owen and the Kid had the match of the night. A pretty good show with a disappointing main event.
Okay. The Paul Orndorff of PTB Nation, Corey Ferreira. What can you say about King of the Ring 1994, but Art Donovan is a bad wrestling announcer? What makes it worse is that this is Gorilla's last WWF pay-per-view as announcer, and he had to do it in the presence of how much does he weigh among the other soundbites of the night. Well, of course, Corey, you were incorrect. Gorilla has one more pay-per-view after this. Now on to the event itself. And I enjoy this King of the Ring not as much as 1993, but it's a good show. The Nash-Brett program was good, and I liked seeing HBK in Diesel's corner for a change, though not the best match the two would have. You could see the continued push for Nash. He's the IC champ and facing the WWF champ. Owen winning the King of the Ring is great. His push is continuing well, and for the second year in a row, a Hart wins the King of the Ring tournament. It would play a role in building Owen's gimmick as a heel for the next few years and the next pay-per-view in August. The Piper-Lawler stuff is not good. I enjoy the Lawler segments on Raw leading up to the match. One of them is on the Raw Season 1 and 2 DVD from last year. And the big, fat, sloppy pig himself returns to pay-per-view for the first time in quite some time. Overall, an enjoyable show, especially compared to the horror of this show a year later. Don't remind us.
Eric Caffiero. Oh, Art Donovan, I love this guy. He is what the website WrestleCrap is made for. He should be the new Raw GM.
Why don't we take a quick, before we go any further, let's take a quick peek and see when he passed away.
Did he pass away? I thought he was still alive.
Oh, he is still alive. Oh, my God, look at him.
Yeah, wow. I thought so.
He's 86.
Yeah, you're putting the poor guy in the grave.
Oh, well.
He's your age, and you're putting him in the grave.
Gorilla wanted to that night, so yes, he's 86 years old.
Yeah, he still pops up, like I said, a lot on NFL films and shit like that. So,
yeah. Anyway, he's from the Bronx, actually. Sounds like it too.
He made it a guest appearance on the Nickelodeon show, The Adventures of Pete and Pete.
Oh God! All right, Kevin Bowers. This was the first pay-per-view I ever attended. So luckily, my memories of the show were not ruined by Art Donovan's commentary. Brett Diesel was a pretty good title match. Seeing the Anvil return was awesome, although he did cost Brett the match, but that wouldn't be the last time we see of him. As for the King of the Ring tournament, I was rooting for Razor to win, so I was upset when Owen won, although looking back now, it's one of the standout moments in his career. Piper King was pretty dumb, but seeing Piper live was pretty cool.
Jeremy Nichols. I've never been a fan of Owen Hart, but it's clear he was not the only choice for winning the King of the Ring that year. Not only does it add more credibility to The Rocket, but it pushes him towards SummerSlam. As for the rest of the card, while it's not so bad except for Lawler Piper, Bret Diesel I thought was a fun match, and once again showed Bret could work with anyone regardless of size and give the show a B, and he said he'd rather forget about Lawler Piper as well.
The Master of the Apostrophe, J. Arsenio D'Amato. Asshole of the Week, retroactive to 1994. Vince for allowing RDD on commentary. Who's this guy? How much does he weigh? Did you guys used to do that in the ring? I'd rather hear Justin do El Gigante for 3 hours.
Justin on the motto, the El Gigante fan. Thank you very much.
Dennis Stamp was waiting by the phone.
He'll never get booked. All right, Mike Wilkinson, Triple Hermit. RDD was horrible. Oh, and shout out to Wilkinson as well. He wanted to answer the call for the Asshole of the Week. He was going to start working on it, but the man, Greenhouse, stepped up before he could. So
that's okay.
RDD was horrible. I'd rather have listened to Jim Duggan and El Gigante do color commentary in a Dennis Stamp match and listen to this idiot. I wish Artie wasn't booked because he knew no tricks. I would have paid the difference on his ticket. I think this is a solid show. I always like Nash and Brett's matches. Doing another IC versus WWF title match is a little soon for my liking, but not enough to downgrade the show. Owen needed the win. It was a good one. Putting him with Anvil was a good move. Another solid King of the Ring. By the way, I will never refer to Triple Hermit in the third person again after being compared to T.O. Damn it, I did it again. Okay, after this time. Keep on rocking.
You're a good man, Mike. Jared Incel. After kicking off 1994 on a strong note with both the Royal Rumble and WrestleMania 10, the WWF follows it up with a half-baked King of the Ring pay-per-view. While this event pales in comparison to its client, the 1993 predecessor, it is far better than some of the King of the Ring shows we will have to endure in the coming years. The bad has already been mentioned by others, namely Art Donovan on commentary and Piper and Lawler closing the show. To this day, I still have no idea why the hell the WWF did this. I mean, seriously, what the fuck, Vince? I concur, Jared. The rest of the card is pretty decent. The tournament may not have been as memorable as the one in 1993, but having Owen win it made for a nice moment. Owen's match with the 1-2-3 Kid was an obvious highlight, and it may be the best match of all time that was under 5 minutes. Bret vs. Diesel was a solid title match and was instrumental towards building Big Daddy Cool as a contender. Overall, a mediocre yet decent show. I also just realized that Lex Luger is not present on this card. Very surprising considering the time period.
Other than Art Donovan, the King of the Ring for 94 is a solid pay-per-view. Owen running through the tournament. Jay Hinchy, I'm sorry.
Okay.
Running through the tournament with three good matches against 1-2-3 Kids, Tatanka and Razor to become the King of Hearts. A decent WWF title match between Bret and Big Daddy Cool, which are the return of Jim the Anvil Neidhart, leading to Anvil helping Hitman retain the gold, which would make sense later in the night. Piper vs. King is an okay main event, and the tag title match of the Hedgehoggers vs. Yoko and Crush is all right. So, a fun King of the Ring, and is pretty memorable overall.
Okay. Sean Watts. King of the Ring isn't a bad pay-per-view, just the commentary sucks, due to Art Donovan not having a clue about anything. Owen vs. Razor's final was good, and they could have used it more in Owen's feud with Bret, due to Bret beating Razor in the first round the year before. Sean, from Rotherham, England.
Oh, good. Thanks for checking in from across the pond.
Yes, exactly.
Matthew McKinney, M to the A to the B-E-L. I'm glad Mabel could spell his own name. Another good show, and I'm glad they kept giving Owen the push he deserved and made for an excellent summer between him and Bret. Also, I don't know why Art didn't do another show for WWE.
You know?
I know why he didn't, but I wish he did. Personally.
All right, Rob King. Up until this time in the WWF, if there was a face world champion and he was not put in the main event, that meant the heel was going to win the title. So when Bret Diesel got put mid-card, my first thought was Diesel was going to win. I was so confused when it ended in a DQ, and I couldn't figure out why this was in the middle of the card. Of course, later in the night, we found out why it was there. 1-2-3 Kid and Owen Hart, I think still to this day, is the best four-minute match I've ever seen, and the main event between Piper and Lawler dips down into negative star range. How much does this guy weigh?
And finally, Dave Hall, a pretty decent show. Owen Hart takes off where his brother left last year, puts on some great displays against different opponents, continuing his rise to the top. I love his acceptance speech, ushering in the King of Hearts gimmick. Bret and Diesel put on a decent match in the middle of the beginning of the two-year series that I've always liked. The addition of Anvil to the storyline was great, and by the end of the night, everything made great sense. The Head Shrinkers against their cousin Yoko and Crush is entertaining, and I was glad to see the Shrinkers running with the belts for a while. It's a shame that the addition of the Big Fat Sloppy Pig, I'm so glad that's taken off as his nickname, actually seemed to water the gimmick down some. The only drawback to the show was the Lawler vs. Piper match, which was a gigantic, ginormous waste of time and the crap commentary of Art Donovan. It was unacceptable to be on pay-per-view, and to have to need Gorilla and Macho Man explain the rules of wrestling to this moron. He makes Hacksaw Jim Duggan look like a certified genius. But the rise of Owen continues as we prepare for his pay-per-view title match against Bret Hart. So there you go. That is King of the Ring 1994. We also got to give a special shout-out to the man Derek LaRue, the king of our fan club, of course, are crafting a bunch of those Art Donovan clips for me. So thank you, Derek.
Yes.
We hope you all enjoyed it. This was kind of an express episode. We got through this one pretty quick, but Art Donovan hopefully helped carry your entertainment value as well. So, and that is it. You have anything else to add, Scott?
Nope, I'm done. Thanks, Arto.
Yes, thank you, Arto. And we will be back next week with the headlines in the NFL Week 10 preview. We'll wrap up Week 9 as always. We'll continue our preview of Survivor Series, which is coming up pretty soon. We'll be talking about the shows you and I will be attending.
Yep.
And next week, we'll be back with the Vintage Vault for SummerSlam 1994, another great show we're looking forward to. So,
yes.
Until then, visit us on the message board, Bigelow34ProBoards.com. We just posted our No Mercy 2006 review. Check that out. You can visit us on Facebook or on Twitter, Place Number 2B Podcast. Hit us up there. We're tweeting out every now and then.
Yes.
So that's it. Until then, Scott, I have one question for you.
Yes.
How much does this fella weigh? I want to back your pump. This is Hello Kitty bedspread, satin funk, mixed with Egyptian, with a little rap and pump, zapping Eric Clapton, shattering Zappa, croaking. Yeah, baby, I want another crack at you. You can beat me with any spatula that you want. I mean, I really want your badger cut. Nick, you had your fun. I've come to kick you in your sack of junk. Man, I could use a fresh patch of blood. So prepare your vernacular for Dracula, acupunk. Bagpipes from Baghdad. When will it ever cease? For Pete's sake, he's crazy to say the least.